My name is Teresa Wittisch. I am the first grade teacher at Milner Public School, and I'm here with Mrs. Pam Gable, the second grade teacher in Milner. Hi, Pam. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Hi. I've been teaching second grade now in Milner for, I gotta stop and think, 22 years.
That's a long time.
6 years as a kindergarten teacher in Milner when I was first employed here, and previous to that I taught 4 years of first grade in Wymere, so I've always been in the primary grades.
Pam and I have been on this primary bus for a while, and I think we can both agree that there are more expectations placed on students and teachers than ever before. The level of rigor in today's primary classrooms has changed with new standards, more testing, and a lot of new pressures. A few years ago, the big buzzword in education was bell-to-bell instruction. And as our schedules have become increasingly full and more things have been added to the classroom teachers' plates, it's become more important than ever to squeeze every minute we can out of our day. Mrs. Gable has become kind of our on-site expert as to making every minute count so she can make time for some of the fun stuff that she wants to do. Mrs. Gable, can you share some of the ways that you make the most of every single minute of your day?
Sure. And I'd like to add that some of the regular routine things that are normally mundane can be made into fun times for the kids, too.
Exactly.
For instance, in the morning when the kids are coming into the room, I always have some project out for them to work on because it helps me get my morning organized or help tend to students who need my attention or help with corrections from the day before, but give the rest something to do. And some examples of that would be I put out decks of cards and I let them play like addition or subtraction war with partners if they don't need my attention at the time. Or I have them play Wheel of Fortune with their spelling words. And in order to do that, they partner up with somebody and they decide what missing letters that they're going to have, and their partner has to figure out what spelling word that they're trying to spell. Another favorite activity in the morning is if I put out little like cut and paste art projects, but I'll have a written set of instructions for them to follow so they have to read it, and then I show them the finished project afterwards so that they have to read and guess what it'll look like by the time they're done. So all of those things they kind of look forward to in the morning, wondering what they are going to have waiting on their desk for them.
Right. Kind of some perfect little bell ringer activities to start your day off right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Lining up, I found that if you make that into a game, that's a fun way to incorporate teaching skills. For example, I might say things like, who's ever first in row, line up first. If you're third in your row, line up. Or if they're in pods, I'll say, who's ever the tallest in your pod, or who's ever the shortest in your pod. Or if you have two or more vowels in your first name, you get to line up first. If you have four consonants in your last name, line up. Then it's not just let's line up. They're reviewing some skills. In the lower grades, you could do coloring, color words, like kindergartners I used to do if you're wearing pink or if you're wearing green or if your birthday's in June, line up, or if your birthday's in December. You can review what they ate for breakfast in the morning, like if you had a grain for breakfast, and then when they line up, I'll say, what was the grain that you ate for breakfast, or if you had a fruit for breakfast. As the year goes on in second grade, I'll make it even more difficult by saying, let's line up in ABC order by your first names. And then the kids really have to think and pay attention as they're lining up.
Right. Keep them thinking all the time. Yeah, I do the same thing sometimes with how many siblings do you have? Is that an even number, an odd number? Those type of things to keep them, just make every minute count.
Transition times are another time that I like to keep the kids busy because not only do you keep better control over your class that way, again, it can also be a fun time. If I want them to be quiet, I'll just start clapping like, and the kids have to copy what I'm saying. Or a lot of times I will just shout out something random like 2, 4, 6, and then they know they have to finish that pattern and shout back like 8, 10, 12, or 1, 3, 5, and they repeat the following three numbers. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and they say the following days of the week. You could do it with months of the year, or you could even shout out a fact, like 2 + 2, and they have to shout out the answer as they're cleaning up their area.
Some great little callbacks.
Exactly.
That are educational.
Exactly.
So instead of just being a cutesy callback, you turn
exactly.
it into something educational.
Right. Because there are a lot of cute things.
There are a lot of cute callbacks, but they're not educational.
Exactly. And if you want to make the most of all the educational moments and do the bell-to-bell transitions, I make up a lot of poems for things too, like for a noun. I'll say a noun names an animal, person, place, or thing. A noun names everything. So if I just shout out noun, the kids know the rest of the little jingle, and then they say that. Or I'll say a verb, and they'll say, is a word that you can act out. And then they'll repeat the jingle over and over again. So that's a good way to do transition time. Also, when you're in the hallway, like if you have your kids lining up for lunch, or they're coming in from recess, taking their jackets off, or going to the bathroom, those are good moments that you can also do review. We a lot of times play Simon Says. That's really good for the younger kids if you want to teach like over, under.
Those concept words.
Exactly. You know, like.
Beside,
and,
between.
Exactly. And I call it Teacher Says instead of Simon Says. I know I've seen you a lot with sight words in up in your little, maybe you want to talk about that little lumber yard pockets.
I carry a little pouch. I have a little apron that I wear, and I keep a lot of flashcards in there, math facts and sight words and little things to practice in the hallway as a way to keep them quiet and keep them still learning while we're waiting for the others to finish.
You can do spelling words. You could start at the front of the line and have them spell off a word. You can also have them act out antonyms, like I'll say, you know, shout. They know they have to do the antonym and say whisper or jump or stand still. And there's so many different concepts that you can review while you're in the hallway and make it fun.
So it's not just a wasted time.
Exactly. Another thing is walking down the hall to and from classes. I found that if I give them a project to work on as they're walking down the hall, that they'll be quiet. Like I will ask them to count how many steps it took to get to lunch while they're walking, or to count how many people that they pass in the hall, or when they come back to tell me if they saw something in the hall, if we're doing measuring. Think of something you see in the hall that you think was taller than 3 feet, or something in the hall that was longer than a yard. And then when we come back, as we're getting ready for recess, we'll review what they all saw.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of a fun activity for them. It's
right.
kind of like a treasure hunt as they're walking to and from class.
Versus the skipping and running down the hall that my first graders like to do.
Right. Partner work. That's another thing. Rather than just saying buddy up with your partner or turn to your, what do you?
A and B partners
yes.
or things like that. Yes.
Yes. I will do the same thing as lining up. Like whoever has more vowels in their name goes first, or whoever has more consonants in their name. I will put little cards on their desk that will have words on them, like on Teresa's desk, I could have shirt. On my desk, I could have walk. And then I might say, look at your partner's word cards. Whoever has the noun gets to go first this time. Whoever has the verb go first this time. You could have math cards on their desk and say, whoever has the biggest sum gets to go first, or whoever has the smallest difference goes first, instead of just the partner A and B. There's so many options with that, too. So there again, you could say, who's ever the tallest can go first, or measure your pencils. Whoever's holding the shortest pencil, you know, can
right.
go first.
So to make your precision partnering go that step further.
Right.
With the education.
Something else I know you asked me to talk about is their artwork. Whatever we do for art, we write sentences to go with it, or write a little story to go with it. And then I like to make class project books where I will take a picture of their artwork and then put their whatever story they wrote about it, and I'll make a class book where everybody's art picture is in it and their story, and then I will send that home. So then they not only have their artwork as a memorabilia, they also have a memory book of everybody's project. So
from
those are things you could do with art. And other examples are, even with just cut and paste fun projects. Like in the spring, we make watermelon slices and we put seeds on them. And then I tell them they have to write a math equation to go with the seeds on their watermelon. So mm-hmm. it makes it educational rather than just
a fun little project.
Exactly.
Yeah. And that's, I think, the key to making the most of our time is how can I glean every bit of education into the time that I have with them.
Right.
To make it the best. Well, I truly appreciate your time, Pam.
Well, and thank you. And did you count how many times I said during the interview?
I did not, but we can make it a math activity.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.